Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Frank Sis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother over here watch a bad movie critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And this week, we're shaking it up in all kinds of ways. We decided that we've been doing consistently 80s movies, because that's where, like, all the best bad stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, man, we really gotta stop doing the 80s and branch out. So we went, so we're like, all right, let's do, like, a solid month of 90s stuff, right?
Yeah, this is, fun. Boy, did we have a treat in store for you.
Oh, the 80s movies, when they're bad, are, like, charming, right?
Yeah, and the you know, it's the 80s, so everything is just a little bit funnier, including, like, the way people dress and the way they talk and everything.
And it, but, like, for some reason, the 90s, like, action movies in the 90s were just really, really dull. I guess because it became easier to, like, get movies directly to video. So because of that, every movie was just sort of like, if you just had a guy in camouflage with a gun, bam, you had a movie.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I mean, there's a few exceptions, like Terminator 2, but on the whole, yeah, not really a good time.
Well, yeah, a sequel to a theatrical release sequel to one of the biggest movies of all time with one of the greatest directors of all time. Yeah, that one's probably going to turn out okay.
Yeah, and but this was just this one just had me scratching my head the entire time.
We should probably say what it is. It's 1994's Class of 1999 part 2 : The Substitute.
This came out in 94. I guess I never heard of it, and I thought it was didn't get to the biggest box office hit, really.
Well, it's directed by a guy named Spiro Rizzatos.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And is starring Sasha Mitchell. You're going to make the same joke every single time I say
that's
it.
That's how I do that.
It'll never get old. It'll probably be funny every time. I have never seen the first movie, nor have I ever heard of this series. We were just looking around for 90s movies, and I saw this one, and I went, when I saw Class of 1999, I went, oh, great. It's set in an unrealistic future because 1999 used to be code for the future. And I'm like, this has to be good, right?
The last time I saw 1999 used as the future was in Demolition Man.
When this starts, clue number one to this being a bad movie is, or any movie, 1999 in the title being used to indicate the future, automatically you got to be like, ooh, this is going to be wildly wrong. It's also going to be probably bad. Clue number two, it's not even 90 minutes long. If your movie is barely longer than like an episode of The Sopranos or something, like, come on, 83 minutes, which thank God, because it still felt long even at that.
I mean, there was some good action points, but...
No, I'm going to say you're completely wrong by saying that.
Well, I had to try to give it something.
Why? Why bother? Well, so why don't we start talking about it? So why don't you bring us into this?
Do I have to?
No, I will.
No, I guess we start. There's a guy in apparently a substitute teacher walking through a school, and he's trying to find the principal. Who does he ask? Like the janitor or something where the principal's office is? I don't even remember.
Okay, so that's not how it starts at all. We open on some guy somewhere for some reason in some building. He hears a noise in a room, goes to investigate. He's presumably killed because another guy walks out wearing his clothes. We have no idea what this means or who this man is. He is apparently in a school, and it's that type of school that only exists in movies where the halls are ruled by gangs that are right out of the Warriors.
And they look like they're in some post-apocalyptic Mad Max movie,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, like they're spray-painting the walls, they're jumping off the lockers, they're carrying like a giant boombox.
I love that they're dressed, too. They look like, just like...
Oh, yeah, they're all wearing like blue jumpsuits, and I get it. These are bad kids, and there are bad kids, and there are bad schools. But no one is, like, cartoonishly evil like this.
It looks definitely like a 90s comic book scene out of a Batman comic or something like that.
I mean, in reality, kids are who are this bad just don't go to school.
Yeah, they're not there.
They're not like, yeah, we're going to control this school through violence. They just don't go there.
Yeah, and
so all the members of this high school gang are, what, 40 years old? And I don't just mean, like, it's not like Matthew Perry in the 90s, who it's like, oh, he's, like, a little too big to be a high schooler, but he sort of looks young. Like, these guys look like my dad.
They just look old. They look the same age as the teachers.
So the guy who stole this other guy's clothes confronts the gang. It's sort of like implied, as we find out later, that this guy is like a robot.
Cyborg, like, android something.
Yeah, and I don't just mean like, oh, he can't act and he acts all stiff. Like, he's supposed to be a robot man. And he's like, why, you need to get to class, beep boop. And they're like, why don't you get out of here, fool? You're just a substitute teacher. How do they know that?
Yeah, have they been going to class? Do they know who their teacher is?
How do they know who he is? They pull a knife on him, and then the robot man's like, class is dismissed, bop beep. And the, like, robot karates them and, like, beats them up and basically kills a bunch of children who are 40. So, immediate next scene, after he throws all of them down a flight of stairs, they are all sitting in their car, and they are going to...
Get revenge. Yeah, they're going to get revenge.
Get ready
on him.
To kill him.
Right. They've got a gun.
So that happens. Thrown down the stairs, cut to them in a car. We're going to kill him. Cut to another guy in a car who is giving us the most blatant expositionary dialogue I have ever heard. He basically looks at the camera and says, okay, everybody, here's what the movie's about.
Yeah, in case you didn't watch the first one.
In case you haven't heard of it. So this guy says he is an agent for the Department of Educational Defense. I guess because in the future of 1999, this is needed.
Oh, every classroom is filled with 40-year-old crazy students that kill the teachers.
Everybody got held back 30 years.
This is just weird.
So he says... The government in the previous movie, he basically goes, last time on Class of 1999, The government took military androids, programmed them to be teachers in inner city schools. Weirdly, that didn't turn out well. And apparently in the first movie, they kill a bunch of people because they have, like, rocket launcher hands, and they didn't decommission the rocket launcher part when they made them teachers
or something. Which looks pretty cool, by the way.
Yeah, we see all these flashbacks of him talking about... He's just talking about the last movie, and we see it. And these robots look awesome! They have, like, half their faces missing, their arms rip open, and they have giant pincer claws. They're opening their chests, and there's all these mechanical wheels. And the guy's just going, yeah, that was the last movie. And now there's one left, and I have to go find it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and you're like, can't we just watch that again? Can we just...
Yeah, well, at this point in the movie, I'm like, great. If that's what the last movie looked like, surely that will be in this one. Spoiler alert, it's not.
Yeah, unfortunately, we just get one really bland one.
So, the gang of kids are sitting in their car. Oh, wait, no, I skipped something. The principal brings the robot into his office.
You can't
and he's
do
like,
that.
Hey, you know, you can't just punch a kid. And he's like, whatever, and just kills the principal.
And walks out.
That whole scene is, like, him in the principal's office getting scolded, killing the principal and leaving is 10 seconds long. It's so short. Why is it in the movie?
He just had to show that he could kill people.
He's about to kill this entire car filled with kids.
Yeah, I guess it was a little unnecessary.
So, there's, like, so far, there's no story. They just threw us into robot teacher kills kids. The robot goes up to the gang's car, chains all of their doors shut, and then throws a grenade into their car and just blows them up.
And I love the fact that they're farting around. The windows are just open.
Yeah, he's like, the car door's locked! We can't get out! Meanwhile, the window is open.
All of
like,
them.
And it's a... And it's a big window.
Yeah, they could have just been like, oh, we just get out and run.
We'll just, as long as we stay calm and just, like, crawl out quickly, we'll be fine.
No.
So, he kills all of these kids at this school. We don't know why. We don't know what school he's at or what he's doing. Then we just see him sitting in his car. The robot is eating lunch. Why is the robot eating lunch?
Does he need sustenance?
And it's like he's not even eating like a sandwich or something. He's eating like coleslaw.
He picked it up at the local KFC.
Then we cut to another school.
Now wait, and no one followed up on this or anything. It's just like, eh.
No, nobody cares. Nobody says like, oh my God, there was an explosion. The principal's dead. And we cut to another school, and I couldn't even tell for like 20 minutes if it was another school or the same school. There's no little dialogue box that shows up and goes, meanwhile, at a different building.
No, but you can only tell, I guess, the students wear a different color here.
Yeah, but you don't see students doing that for like 10
That's
minutes.
That's true.
So at this other school that we eventually learn, the female teacher parks her car, and another 40-year-old student throws a dead cat on her car, awkwardly flirts with her, and threatens her, and then she is saved by her boyfriend, who isn't a teacher and doesn't work at the school.
Just hanging out, I guess.
But is constantly there. He's at meetings with the principal. He doesn't work there. Why is he there?
Well, they need him for the story.
I mean, you like they don't even say he's not a teacher at this school, and you don't see what his job is for like another 15 minutes. I just assumed he was like a lunch monitor or something.
Or anyone. I mean, he's, yeah. And you don't even know. At first, you're just like, what is he doing there? And then later, like you said, a half an hour, it just turns out that he's just, you know, her boyfriend. And
so the robot substitute shows up at this school. I don't know why he left the last school. It seemed like there were plenty of people to kill there.
And also, it's like, doesn't anyone find it suspicious that, hey, this guy showed up today? And then all this stuff happened.
Exactly. Like, I don't even know why he's there. But, okay, so like you said, it's a different school because all of these kids are wearing orange jumpsuits. And it's the future, so, like, they all have computers that are like, I hate this in movies. And people still do this in movies, and it bugs the shit out of me. At this point in history, as of today, everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody has a computer. Everybody has a calculator and all that shit.
Right.
But when you watch a movie and somebody's like, let me check my computer for a second. Beep, bop, boop, beep, beep, bop, beep, bop, brrr, bzz, da, 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 da. Computers don't make sounds like that.
Same thing with video game commercials.
See, right. Why do people in Hollywood think, if that computer's not making beeping and bopping sounds, how's the audience going to know that it's on? Like, we get it. It's a computer. I know it works. When I click an email to write it, it doesn't go beep, bop, boop, beep, 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 boop. No, my computer makes no fucking sound.
Yeah, I love the dot matrix printers, too.
Because it's the future in 4 years in 1999. Well, that's the other thing. So, also, another future thing that bugs me is it's the future, so we got to add futury things. I just realized I'm making quotes with my fingers, and nobody can see me in this empty room I'm in.
So, just a note, Reverend Zach is making air quotes.
Air quotes future. All of the cars are normal, but they make, like, spaceship sounds. But they're just, like, pickup trucks.
I didn't even notice that.
But it's the future, so I guess they need to make spaceship sounds. And you know what? I get it. This sort of youth run-of-the-muck type dystopia exists and has happened before and will continue to happen. And I get that, and that's not a terrible premise. But here's the thing. If you're going to do that, you need to set your movie like 200 years in the future, like Logan's Run, or don't specify a year at all, like a Clockwork Orange. You don't set it 4 years in the future.
Yeah. Did you think like this, all this stuff was going to magically happen?
Yeah, it's like they made this in 1994, and they're like, well, clearly by 1999, all of this will happen.
Yeah. Well, so, yes, it's ridiculous.
So the robot shows up as a substitute teacher. Is he in the substitute system?
Yeah.
How did he know there was a spot
who
open?
Who called him?
Did he get accredited and apply for this job, or did he just show up?
Well, yeah, and if he is using the moniker of the other person, how did he get all his information?
He's not using them. Well, I don't. I don't think he's using a fake ID, though. We don't see him like kill a print. Is that supposed to be the guy he killed in the beginning?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I just realized.
Yeah, I think he kills him, and he's like basically taking his. You know.
So we cut to this classroom, and this classroom is like. All of the students are wearing these orange prison jumpsuits, like we said, and they're like uber violent. They all got knives and chains, and the teachers teach in like a bulletproof box
or a cage.
At one point, there's a teacher. Her desk is in a metal cage to prevent them from like throwing bricks at her, I guess.
Where are the parents?
But he's in like. His classroom has like a bulletproof barred-up windowed thing where he has to talk through a microphone.
Yeah, so the students can't get to him, I guess.
But because he's a robot, he just goes in and teaches them. And the kids are interrupting him and being dicks. One of them drops a book and makes like a loud banging sound on the ground, and this robot has like a PTSD flashback.
Yeah.
From the noise. Why would you program your robot to be able to have crippling war flashbacks?
It seems like a flaw. More on this later, by the way.
Also, it's never brought up, though. Like, he has this one flashback, never brought up again. That's never a thing that affects him later. Nobody uses that to their advantage to stop him. It's just something that happens.
So then, one of the students, he goes over and like picks the book up that got dropped, and he's like, I'm going to find out who this is, opens it up, and he tells the kid that he tells the kid off or whatever, is he's not even the one that did it, but that doesn't matter.
He's wearing like a weird wig, too. I guess because it's like we need to make this 40-year-old man have like a kid's haircut.
Yeah, they give him a sloppy wig. So he says, you go to the principal's office. So the kid's like, fine. And he walks out, and instead of going to the principal's office, he goes to the roof.
Where he's going to get on top of the roof and play air guitar to no music. Like, he just gets up there, and he's like, yeah, and he's just doing air guitar. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
And he's doing drugs, I guess?
That's what they say, because, spoiler alert, he dies. they just are like, oh, he must have been on drugs, because the teacher immediately follows him, because I guess he leaves this classroom filled with criminals alone, follows this kid up to the roof, ties a rope around his neck, and throws him off the roof and hangs him.
Yeah, and I love the reaction to the student dying. Everyone's just still like, I just keep going with classes.
Yeah, they're like, this sheriff who becomes a character kind of is just like, oh yeah, a kid's dead. All right,
like it's a normal. Yeah, well, in 1999, that's normal.
So we're introduced to this whole subplot with this blonde female teacher. Who's being accused of something? Honestly, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it.
Well, you know the kid that approaches her in the beginning?
Yeah, apparently the kid who threw the dead cat on her car killed a student on the school property. She saw it. Like, everybody's trying to get her to say that it was an accident to not cause trouble, but she's like, no, he killed this person. And the student is like, well, I'm going to threaten you and maybe kill you but something, right?
Yeah,
is that
right? Yeah, right.
So they that, her, so they, that
she wants to testify to do the right thing. That's all.
And so that goes on through this whole movie. She sees Robot Man, Robot Teacher, and it's lunchtime, so she's going to sit down with him and have lunch. He eats like six lunches. tells her he converts food into nuclear energy. And nobody acknowledges that.
And again, a child just died. Where are all the police?
But it's so strange because what we find out later, that makes no sense.
What doesn't?
That he's like, I eat food and turn it into nuclear energy. No, you don't. That'll be revealed later. So we keep getting flashes of this agent sitting in this car talking about the previous movie. He's not even talking about what's happening now. He's just like, meanwhile, in the movie that we made originally...
That looked cool.
That looked cool. We keep seeing, like, this much more creepy, interesting film about these killer androids that are, like, actually... We get to see, like, robot parts. He has nothing to do with the current movie. It's almost like they shot him completely separate from filming the rest of this movie.
They're like, hey, can we get the director's kid?
Oh, this movie's only 75 minutes
long.
We
gotta
put
something in here.
We can't release it at 75 minutes. It's got to be longer. Why don't we have a whole thing where we keep showing flashbacks from the first movie? Hey. That should get us up to at least 80 minutes.
Hey, where's John from the production crew?
Right, that's
just
what
get him
it seems
in here.
Like
and just have him sit in here and just talk about nothing. Okay, there you go.
Cut from him to the female teacher is having her morning jog. She is assaulted by one of the 50-year-old students.
The post-apocalyptic kids.
Right, the Mad Max villain shows up. The robot teacher rescues her. The sheriff is there because she called the police. And this sheriff is sometimes an incompetent cop who doesn't do his job, and sometimes is just a really good guy in a bad situation. But he's basically two characters because I guess they couldn't afford another cop uniform. And they just, like, took two characters in the script and went, well, you'll just be both of these sides of a different coin. Like, he doesn't, like, there's no arc to this guy.
Or any of the characters, really.
So, this robot man is constantly looking for this military museum to get weapons, I guess. That never becomes tremendously clear because he keeps killing people and never really needs them. And he also has his own guns.
And a knife.
And a knife.
And he likes to hang and break people's necks.
So he goes to this military museum, and it's just a trailer, like, with some camouflage netting on it. They keep referring to it as, like, a complex and a museum. It's one room.
Yeah, and run by a guy who's just like, I kind of like old military stuff.
It's run by the guy who is female teacher's boyfriend that we keep thinking is a teacher until around now.
And then you're like, oh, he just kind of doesn't have a job. So that's probably just hanging out wherever he can at this point.
And he can't see the museum because it's closed, and he just leaves. We cut back to the school. The teacher is leaving at night. She's assaulted by another student from the gang who's trying to threaten her. The boyfriend shows up and scares him away. Then the robot man shows up, beats up this kid for like 5 minutes, and then lights him on fire.
And you get to watch him burn alive.
On school property.
And again, no one's around to be like, there's a fire in the parking lot or something.
So female teacher's boyfriend is like, these kids keep assaulting you, I'm not going to take it anymore. So he gets an M16 from his military museum and gets in his truck. And now we're in, like the dystopian part of town. Like, there's...
crazy.
Like, there's trash everywhere. Whoa. And there's, like, burning barrels and, stacks of wood. Like, it really can't... Like, this movie cannot figure out where it's set. Is it in, at a terrible future? Or is it in just, like, a bad school? Because he chases this gang in his pickup truck... And then gets out of his car and holds a machine gun to their heads, and there's no cops around, but then they also just, like, live in a cabin in the woods.
And I like how he, like, does this whole big thing where it looks like he's going to kill this guy, and then he goes, you can go, though.
Well, I mean, the movie really bounces back and forth between, like I said, being a normal society where kids are a little bit more rambunctious than average, and this robot teacher is just... completely overreacting to the situation and is on a rampage. But then it's like people are having normal lives and a sheriff is doing his job. Like, it's this crumble. Is it a crumbling society of a futuristic dystopia where violence is the law of the land, or is it set in the woods?
Both.
Because 65% of this movie is set in the woods.
And they do refer to it as a small town every once in a while.
But it's but it doesn't play it like that. Like, you, like, this movie does a really bad job of telling you where it is.
Yeah.
So this cop goes to the boyfriend's military museum trailer,
Right.
And he's setting this, the boyfriend is setting up for this school-wide paintball match for some reason. This paintball match is looming over this entire movie. They are treating this paintball match as if it is, like, the event of the year. It keeps getting mentioned, and it keeps getting hinted at as it's, like, this ultra-important thing, and I don't know why, and it really isn't.
I don't know. I'm lost for words. I can't even... I'm sorry. But here's, I just can't eat. The paintball. And I'm like, do they see how these kids act at school and then they're going to throw them in a paintball?
Right, exactly. Does paintball see? It seems like the worst thing to these ultra violent Clockwork Orange children. Like, give them fake guns and, like, train them how to simulate killing each other, even though they're already doing it.
So that's just, I couldn't even.
Then, I don't even, what the fuck was this about? The boyfriend is experimenting with paintballs filled with gasoline.
And that never gets expanded on.
Why? Why is that in this? What sort of practical application would that serve other than later in the movie it would be used to set people on fire? Which doesn't happen anyway! It is like this thread that they just dangle, where he's like, I'm creating these paintballs that are filled with gasoline where you can set people ablaze. That never happens! Why do they even mention it?
Just because. Just to make, like, a cool reference, he uses gasoline.
It's not, but, like, I'd get it if he said that. Like, it's fucking Chekhov's gun! Don't show me a gun that can light people on fire and then don't do that.
Well, that's what they did. Get over it, I guess. I don't
know. So get over it.
Look, the movie's already derailed far beyond anything that we can hope to recover from.
So the boyfriend also has a military bunker, for some reason, filled with military equipment and guns, and is one of the worst examples of foreshadowing in a movie I've ever seen, where he's like, there's a lot of dangerous things down here. It would be terrible if a man who is disguised as a robot came down here, found all these things, and used it to kill children.
He does.
All right, bye.
And then he does.
That's exactly what happened.
Did we get to the paintball tournament yet?
No, we're not there yet.
Oh, God.
Because did you, I didn't understand what was happening there.
Which part?
We're back at the school. The robot teacher is talking to the female teacher. He sees a kid on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
The kid on the bike recognizes him.
From the other school, maybe?
I don't know.
He's a transfer? But that was quick.
Because he chases this kid and breaks his neck and walks away.
And then they're like, oh, another kid did. I don't know.
Why did that happen? Who was that kid?
He must recognize. I don't know.
It looks like he just killed some random kid for no reason.
They needed a reason to have another death. I don't know.
But they set it up as if, like, that kid knows me, and I have to go kill him. But who was it? Who was that kid?
He was a transfer. That's all we get.
We don't know he was a transfer.
They said it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
She does say that, like, really quickly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's the reason.
Yeah, yeah. So he must have recognized him.
I guess. So female teacher is in her classroom. She's sitting at her desk inside this sealed steel cage.
The wrestling match?
And talks to Robot Man, because she's like, oh, Robot Man, my boyfriend got arrested because they think he killed the kid who got lit on fire. Will you come to the jail with me? And he's like, beep boop, yes, I will. And the boyfriend is there for the murders that the robot did.
Right.
The secret agent finally becomes a part of this movie. He finally shows up and is interacting with other characters, and he's like, hey, is that guy you arrested a robot by any chance? And they're like, no. And he's like, okay, see ya. He's out of
Does he, like, prick his hand or something like that?
Yeah, he pricks his hand with, like, a special ring, and he's like, ah, you're bleeding. You're not a robot. Okay, bye, movie.
And you don't care.
So, the robot, who, like, now his motives are becoming, like, weird, because he suits up with all his weapons and is going to kill the female teacher for a reason that never becomes fully clear. But before he can kill her secretly with a knife, the gang of students do a drive-by, and he saves her something, right?
Something.
So the police are like, well, that's weird. What are you going to do about it? And leave.
Nothing.
Then the boyfriend shows up, and this is like, I could not. There are so many scenes that I feel that I was like, do these not make sense because we didn't see the first class of 1999?
Yeah.
Or do these not make sense because this movie is incredibly disconnected? Or do they not make sense because, like, it's poorly written? Because the boyfriend and female teacher have a weird sex scene where she has, like, a future bed where, like, the bed frame is made out of, like, halogen lights.
Because this is the part of the movie where, like, you're just like, okay, let's hurry it up because, you know, I have a life.
So the sex scene that is not earned or really built to in the future bed, the robot teacher is standing outside their window watching them. And he has, like, and he just gets, like, I don't know, like, angry or something?
But I thought his motive was to kill children. Why is he...
Right, and he's, like, not even before, during, or after this sex scene does he convey any sort of feelings for this woman. It's just all of a sudden he's watching this sex scene, and he's like, human emotion, do not understand, beep, boop, must kill. And he breaks into the military museum and, like, shoots it up, and then breaks into this guy's bunker and steals a bunch of weapons, intercut with this sex scene, and it's really, and you're just like, what? Why are we seeing this? Why are you showing this to me,
well,
movie?
And then it was like, I have no emotion, yet I have emotion enough to go shoot the museum up.
I am angry for something. Cut to next morning. I'm not the robot man. Cut to next morning. This paintball match that we have been talking about for over an hour finally happens.
And
the robot man is going to kill everyone, I guess.
And the really, really bad kids are going to kill the female teacher.
Right. The gang is like, we're gonna infiltrate the paintball kids, and we're going to wait till she's alone and then gang up on her and kill her, and then we'll get away with it. Not a terrible plan.
I love the one thing, though. They're like, we're the ones with the armbands below our elbow. I'm like, what if another kid just decided to do that?
They keep going. Like, they, for some reason, I don't know if they weren't sure they understood or if they weren't sure we as the audience weren't going to understand, because the leader of the gang keeps going, okay, you are the guys with the blue armbands, and they're the kids with the pink armbands. Now, when the blue armbands go over here, I want you to get the pink armbands because the teacher is the pink armband. Now, our blue armbands are going to be under our shoulders, but when the pink armbands show up, I'm like, I get it. I got it. They're two different colors. I understand.
Yeah, again, to draw it out even longer.
I get, like, he explains his plan as if I have to be in on it as well. He's like, okay, Zach, now you have a blue armband. Like, and Francis has the pink armband. It's like he says pink armband like 30 times.
So they start the stupid paintball match.
They start the stupid paintball match, and the robot man has set up booby traps, and kids start to die. They get, like, hit with logs, and, like, sharp sticks come out of trip wires and hit them in the head and start dying. Meanwhile, the secret agent is finally like, I know where the robot is. He's going to kill everybody at the paintball match. I don't know why I'm not there right now.
He's like,
I'm going to wait until the paintball match has been going on for about 40 minutes, and then I'll show up. So he finally shows up, and he's like, robot. And he goes, beep, boop, were you talking to me? He goes, yeah, you. And he goes, I don't want to kill you, robot. I want to copy you and make other robots because I'm now also a bad guy. Something?
Yeah, exactly. And the whole thing, you're like, wait, you just contradicted everything you said to us the entire movie.
And everything he's saying, he's not talking to a superior. He's talking into, like, a weird future voice recorder. So he doesn't actually have to pretend to be good. But he is.
And he gets the robot to throw his weapon down as well, because he has, like, an armor-piercing gun or whatever it is.
And then he's talking to the robot, and the robot takes out a knife and stabs him. And you're like, okay, well, I guess that subplot's over.
Wrecked.
Right. The gang hiding as the paintball kids start to, they finally kidnap the teacher. a bunch of kids die because now also, while they're kidnapping the teacher, the robot is just straight up murdering kids, like, throwing them in holes and throwing grenades down there.
And no, and none of, like, you know, none of the moderators to this are like, seems strange that there's some explosions going on.
Well, no, they are.
Oh,
they
do they? Okay, I just...
Yeah, they actually do that. They're running around, and they hear gunshots, and they hear explosions, and they're like, what the hell is going on here?
Don't call the police.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, the you know, generic... The sheriff's there, and there's just a weird action scene. The robot kills kids, the gang tries to kill the teacher, and then the gang gets killed. I forget who kills the gang. I actually think the sheriff or the boyfriend does it, something. They kill the gang.
Right.
Now, Robot Man is full evil, and he's like, must kill everybody, even the teacher, who I didn't want to kill for a while, then I did, and I didn't, and then I got mad that you were having sex with somebody. Now I'm going to kill you, something.
Why didn't he just kill them both while they were having sex?
Why did he want to kill them at all? So he's like threatening to kill them. Like we're all at the underground bunker, and the agent again shows up. He's not dead now. He's just bleeding, and he reveals that bump bump bump, the robot isn't a robot. It's just a crazy guy
with the same armor that
He's just wearing body armor. That makes it so, like, he can't get stabbed or shot. He's wearing, like, a Batman armor jumpsuit under his clothes.
Right.
He is apparently the son of the professor who built the actual robots in the first movie that we keep hearing about, but went crazy. Now he thinks he's a robot, but is just a guy. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there just going, what? Like, what? So all this talk of this guy being a robot, him going, I eat food and convert it into nuclear power, beep boop, I am Robot Man, none, like, he never was a robot? What, like, what, why?
Yeah, no, way to, like, kill the entire climax of the film.
What, like, if you're, especially if your first movie that we keep seeing... Like, multiple giant killer robots with robot lasers coming out of their hands, and this one is just about a crazy guy. It's not even the same movie. But he's like, you're just a guy. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm a robot. All right, whatever. Then there's a fight again. Now the agent actually gets killed. He... not Robot Man, now he's just crazy guy and female teacher tussle into the military bunker. Yep. He's like, I am a robot who failed his mission. I must decommission myself. And she's like, wait, what's going on? And he's just like, I'm going to set a bomb for 30 seconds. You will also die in here with me because you failed your mission. She's like, wait a minute, I'm so lost. What are we talking about?
So she tries to get out.
Stumbles out of this bunker. He's like, beep, boop, wait, you have to blow up with me. She grabs the armor-piercing gun, shoots him with it. He falls into the bunker, and the bunker explodes. Crazy guy who thought he's a robot is dead. Movie's basically over.
Except...
Flash forward to female teacher is now like, yes, I'm getting a new job at a school, person I'm talking to on the phone. I can't wait to go there. I have a mission to complete. She's holding a gun. Now she thinks she's a robot. Credits roll. Class of 1992, the substitute. And just like, what?
And you leave like, confused and...
I will say this. This movie kept me on my toes of like, I cannot figure out what's happening.
Yeah, and thank goodness it's only an hour and 20 minutes.
For a movie that has such a simple premise, okay, well, I guess we might as well go into our review and then our rating, so I'll start. This felt like they could have made this into another movie. I mean, they basically copied The Substitute, where there is a substitute who goes into a bad inner city school and kills a bunch of kids and beats them up. But... they wanted to make that, but they didn't. Maybe they were like, oh, if we call it Class of 1999 Part 2, we can just use that name. Maybe that had a cult following, something, something.
I doubt it.
I don't know, because, like, they could have just called this bad teacher and, had it be the same movie, just take out every scene of dialogue where they say robot. And it would have been, I don't know, it at least would have made more sense. Because, like, it's so all over the place, tonally, setting-wise, you don't know when it's set, where it's set.
1999.
Well, is it? But, like...
I know,
like,
I'm just messing with you.
How, like, they seem to imply that this is set in some really far dystopian future, but it's only 4 years away, and we don't really see anything other than cars go, boom, and there's some, like, fires in some trash cans. I mean, like, honest, for suggestion, I got two suggestions. If you want to see a movie that's basically this but not as stupid, just see The Substitute. Or something that I'm going to try and do, and I recommend that you do too, Class of 1999, the first one, looks like an interesting movie.
Hey, maybe we'll come back to that.
It's at least got robots in it. And I want to see that now. That movie looks so much better than this. Why would you show a movie that is about something different? That's like every, like, if you watched Love Actually, but one of the characters kept flashing back to the movie The Predator for some reason. You'd be like, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with this.
So, hated? What?
Categories are, I didn't hate it, good party movie, good hangover movie, or I hated it. I'm going to give it a good hangover movie. Because it's, like, it's 90s enough and action-y enough that if, like, you have a really bad headache and you're just drinking ginger ale and laying on your couch, you don't have to think very hard. You don't have to do a whole lot of, like searching through this movie. You can just sit there and watch it. It wasn't like I hated it, because I didn't hate it, but I don't want to say that it's a good party movie, because it's not tremendously fun. I'll go hangover movie.
All right, well, I'm going to go with I hated it. Because from the moment it started, I wanted it to be over.
And thank God it's so short, even though it doesn't feel like
yes,
that.
Yes, I was so confused. Again, I don't like the whole, the so-called, air quotes, futuristic setting that we got. When we found out the robot wasn't a robot, that was annoying. Yeah, I just didn't like the movie. I'm sorry. Because
that was the only thing this movie had going for it,
the
was
robot.
That this guy's a robot,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And you keep waiting for that Terminator moment. When are they going to shoot those gasoline paintballs at him and his skin's going to come off and he's a robot, right?
Yep.
Where's my robot payoff?
Yeah, so, I mean, and I know it's cliche or whatever you mean to say, but just go watch a Terminator if you want a robot movie from the 90s. Terminator 2.
I don't think that's cliche. If you want to see a good robot movie, see the Terminator.
Terminator
because
2.
You,
we're going 90s, so yeah. I mean, but
you at least get to see a goddamn robot in it.
Exactly. And memorable characters, you know, good things a movie has. So.
You know, like a movie does.
Yes, right. Well, that's all I got, so I'm going to back to
all
you,
right.
Reverend Zach.
Well, like I said, we should really try to see if we can find the first one. I just came across this one. I'm like, this looks bad. Let's watch this. But now I kind of want to watch the first
one. We'll take a look for it.
Yeah, I'll scour the internet and see if I can find a place where we can watch it. And we'll definitely maybe try and watch it. Maybe we'll put this one into some context. Probably not.
Maybe it'll be good.
But wouldn't that be nice to watch a good movie? So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, we love hate mail. You can send us that at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a Twitter you can follow us on, @moviehotdog. We have a Facebook. Please like us at This Movie Was a Hot Dog. If you get this podcast on iTunes, please rate and review and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it, and it helps the show. I'm done talking. Francis, do you have anything to say?
I got nothing.
All right. Sign us off.
And for Reverend Zach, this is Francis saying This Movie Was a Hot Dog.